pretty clear. You know, one of you guys were asking, like, what was the turning point in your life? I said, man, I was under legalism. I grew up in church. I was word of faith. I was charismatic. And guys, we operate in all that. It's still the same today. It's not like we deny the gifts of the Spirit and different things like that. You know, it's we can give you testimony after testimony after testimony. If you need healing, we pray and you're healed. If you need this, it's just, it's a simple thing. But there really is an old one and a new one. That's what it was all about, the old covenant and the new covenant. And when you start seeing the similarities, when you realize the old one is just a type and shadow of the real one, which is spiritual. And Jesus came to fulfill all those so they could see it. And that's why he told the Jews, he said, listen, you were always hearing, you heard us say all these things, but you never heard it. You saw all these things, you were always seen, but never seen. But this people, this genea, this generation, this race, who was not under the covenant, believed, therefore, there's no longer Jew and Gentile. There's one body, there's one spirit, etc. As many as believed him, he said, he came unto his own, and his own believed him not. But as many as believed him, to them he gave them power to become what? Sons. And if you go look at that, gave that power, I heard you say that, Peggy, that gave that power, it literally says, he placed you as sons. There's nothing you did. You just believed, really, Jesus, the fulfillment of all those promises? I believe that. Now you're a son. Hallelujah. See, the old one was by observation. I had to do these things. I had to obey these rules. I had to do this. I had to do this ceremony. I had to do this feast. I had to fast so many days here. I had to pray. Otherwise, he didn't do all this. And not they had to. It was works. I had to do these things in order to be pleasing to God. But at the end of the day, could there one person ever accomplish it? No. So what did Jesus do in the old covenant? He said, listen, I know you're asking for this law, but none of you, not one person, will ever fulfill it. Therefore, I'm going to set up this temple and sacrifice system so you can still be in covenant with me. So as hard as they tried, he knew every man was going to obey the law. In fact, we were just talking about that. It's pretty simple. When the law was given at Mount Sinai, what did it produce? Death. 3,000 people died. When the Spirit was given on Pentecost in the New Covenant, how many people lived? 3,000. See, it's a type and shadow. The old one was not as good. Amen? The old one killed people. The new one gave life. 3,000 died at Mount Sinai. The new covenant, the Spirit's given, 3,000 people lived. Right? The old covenant made you a slave. The new covenant made you a son, an heir. Exactly. You guys get this? The old covenant, they had to take their shoes off because they weren't worthy. Not one person was worthy because they couldn't follow the law. The new covenant, he says, put the shoes back on. He's a son. He's allowed to be in the house. The slaves are outside with no shoes. It's pretty simple. It really is. So what I'm trying to show you is the new covenant says it's by what you believe. As many as believed him, he gave the power to become sons. So I'm going to work on your heart. That's what I'm really after, is change what you believe. Does that make sense? In fact, you look at Joseph Prince, his whole book is, hey, change what you believe, what? That will change your life. Change what you believe, that will change your life. The church's message for 2,000 years is, obey and then it'll be better for you. And I can't figure out, the harder I try, the worse it gets. What's going on? Maybe I didn't hear the Spirit right. Maybe I didn't hear you right. We'll go back to when you heard him right. I don't know when I heard him anymore. We get people all wrapped up in pretzels. Right? Haven't you all heard that? Well, you made the bed, now you got to sleep in it. Then you're all in a mess. Jesus comes and says, No. You've missed it. The law was designed to show you couldn't do it. It was a mirror to show you how dirty and ugly you were. The new covenant, you look at the Spirit of liberty in Jesus Christ and you'll be changed into that image. Does that make sense? They were both mirrors. One killed you, one gave you life. And when you start understanding the old and the new, man, you start to get freed up. You go, Jesus did all these things? Yes, he is the title deed of all those old things foreshadowed. You guys get that? So all I'm trying to get to you is, when he says you're complete in Christ, what does that mean? I'm complete in Christ. And immediately, your Bible study teacher, you're going to go drink coffee at their house on Tuesday, will go, well, you can't tell him that. He's going to run out and sin. No, he said we're supposed to tell him that. We're supposed to give him the good news of Jesus Christ. We're ambassadors of reconciliation. Amen? And when they realize, finally, I'm not guilty anymore, because we all have a guilty conscience under the old. I'm never good enough. Right? I'm never good enough. And the guy can go, you're right. It was designed to bring you to the end of yourself. Jesus said, I came to fulfill that, not to abandon it. I fulfilled it. Now you're under the perfect law of liberty. You're free as a son. You're a joint heir. You're everything that was promised in the old covenant. You're a joint heir. Does that make sense? So in the old covenant, they came out with silver and gold. Jesus said, I brought them out of Egypt because of their obedience? No. Said they started worshiping idols and different things. He brought them out because of the promise he made to who? Their covenant promise he made to the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Were Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob under the law? No. Abraham went to God and he counted it to his righteousness. Abraham believed God and it was counted as righteousness. That's why it never says we're a joint heir of Moses. Because Moses didn't get to go to the promised land. Right? We're a joint heir of who? Abraham. How did Abraham get the promise? He believed it. God said it, I believe it. I'm trying to show you, God said it, believe it. We're joint heirs, and that promise of Abraham has come on you. Now we're a joint heir of Jesus Christ. So one was I need to do to get all the promises. The other one is I need to believe it's already been done, then I freely receive them. Does that help you guys out? So I'm just trying to show you what you already have in Christ Jesus. That's why Apostle Paul over and over and over and over and over says, listen, you know what? I want you to be sure. I've given you two things. God gave you an oath and he gave you a promise so you can always anchor your soul. Why do you need to anchor your soul? Come on, guys, in your deepest, darkest times. I don't care how good you think you are. Man, I'm this man of God and I'm this and I don't want to show anybody my failures. You know what I know about you in your quiet time? I don't deserve any of this. Oh, wait a minute. Bring to remembrance. Jesus said I didn't have to earn it. He earned it. And now I'm still righteous based on what I believe, and that'll produce a holy life. You guys get this? It's all about changing your heart. That's what I'm trying to show you. So let me tell you what I was going to tell you in these pieces of paper that I left on my desk today, okay? I can summarize it, which is probably better. So anyway, you can go, look, science is just confirming what's true about the world. So as we, little review from last week, is you can go look at this, and you can look at Carolyn Leaf and Jim Richards and HeartMath and all these different things. It's pretty interesting. Here's what it says, literally. Your heart produces an electromagnetic field that is 60 times more powerful than your brain. So most Christians are trying to do everything here. They're trying to observe. Yet God said, my kingdom, all these promises don't come by observing things, by obeying, right? It comes by believing, by spiritual things, things you can't see. If I believe the right thing, it starts to produce in my life. Follow me? And we understand this. Some of you guys are sports guys. I'm a huge sports guy. You ever hear this? Is they have all the talent in the world, but they need to learn how to do what again? Win again. So they believe, man, I'm going to win. Guess what? Winning starts to become a reality. And then Christians go, I tried to pray fast and get the anointing and fall down and do all these things, and then God will bless me. They typically struggle. Follow me? I'm waiting for God to give me my breakthrough. He gave it to you 2,000 years ago. Now believe the right thing and experience it. That's what I'm trying to show you. Follow me? So your heart, that's why you can sit across from somebody and you know what's in their heart, not what's in their head. They can say all the right things and you go, there's just something not right about this. Follow me? And I can't go into the other stuff because it's a little too complicated, but some of you guys have heard me talk about the split slot theory or the split plate theory or dual wave reality, things like that. I just want to show you something real about this. This is pretty interesting. You can go Google this, etc. It's quantum physics. Now, don't get scared, but it's really cool. We've been on this for 15 years probably. I just love it. Because here's what it shows you. They shoot these electrons at this film of paper, and they've got a piece of lead with three holes in it, if you can picture this. All right? So if you shoot these electrons, the lead is going to stop the electrons where there aren't holes. But when there's three holes, what do you expect to see on the graph paper behind it? Three holes where the electrons got through, right? Now here's what's fascinating. When they put an electron microscope on it to see, are there really three holes? Guess what it shows? Three spots where the electrons went through. When they take the electron microscope off, you know what they see? It's a sine wave. You haven't told me what you want to be yet. You tell me what you want to be, and I'll perform for you. God tells us the same thing all the time. When you believe right, it's 60 times more powerful than this. Your heart. Follow me? So I'm going to talk about if you can get to your belief systems right, your heart right, of what Jesus has already done for you. Because here's what happens, guys, and don't condemn yourself if this is you, because we all fit in here somewhere, but let's just pick some things. No matter what I do, I can't get ahead financially. That is something that's going on in your heart where you haven't believed the gospel yet, where somehow you don't feel worthy yet. And what you need to replace it with, he did it for me. I am a joint heir of Jesus Christ. Let's just pick another one. All my relationships end up like this. There's something in you that you go, man, I can't be good enough. This guy won't like me. This girl won't like me. This is how it's going to be. There's something in your belief system yet that, guess what? We are self-fulfilling prophecies. We're that sine wave. When we believe the right thing, it'll perform. When we don't believe the right thing, what do you want me to be? It just produces a sine wave. I'll be whatever you want me to be. And we all know this in human, we know this as parents. We tell our kids, we go, you know what? You can do whatever you set your mind to do. Isn't that true? That's true. Guys, you know how you're going to have business success? Sitting around seeing yourself already successful in your mind. And well, where's hard work come? I'm telling you, that will produce hard work. When you go, man, I'm so pumped up. I can see what God wants for my life. This is what I'm going to go do. And then what do we do as Christians? I'm waiting for God to tell me what to do. I want to hear him clearly. And he's going, what do you want to do? I'm in this with you. I've given you freedom. You do what you want to do with your life. Does that make sense? And no matter what you put your hand to, I will prosper it. Isn't that what he says? That promise is now yes and amen in Christ Jesus. The old covenant was an if then. If you diligently hearken, if you obey, then you'll be prosperous. Then whatever you put your hand to is prosperous. You know what? That gives you no assurance in the new covenant. Because you might know, maybe I didn't advertise right. Maybe I didn't do this right. Maybe I didn't do that right. Maybe I didn't work hard enough. Maybe I worked too hard. Man, I need to balance. I need to balance my life. I need to be home with my kid. All this is just whacked out worldly teaching to me. Is, you know what? Your balance comes from, I'm one in Christ. This is what, no matter what I put my hand to, I'm going to prosper. Hallelujah. Does that make sense? There's no balance. It's all in or good luck. You're Christ, and Christ in you, and you're in him. Amen? That's the new covenant. So, if there's something in there yet, I'm not worthy to be, come on, we need to start changing that. You start seeing yourself as the spotless bride, this beautiful bride, this you know what? All my relationships are going to start working. You can pick anything. Anywhere you're struggling is just part of a new covenant we haven't believed correctly yet. You are one with Christ Jesus is what it says. Does that make sense? So the new covenant comes not by observation. It comes by believing. Spiritual things is what it says. Something that we can't see, but it's more real than what you can see. You guys get this? All right, so let's go through scripture and we'll get you out of here. Any good games coming on today? Any good games coming on today? All right, we'll get going, so I'll get you out of here on time. All right, guard your heart. You've all heard this in Psalms and Proverbs, and I'll kind of explain what it means. It's very clear when you start seeing it, but let's just go through Scripture. Your heart, guys, in Hebrew, it says, it's different things. It's lav or labab, and it literally, if you looked at it in Hebrew, the first letter is lamet, which is a shepherd's staff, and the bet is the house, or the other translation is what's inside the house. Like ab, a left bet. You guys know what that is? The strong man of the house. He is the Abba. Does that make sense? So the first two letters of the Hebrew alphabet, he says, I am the ox, I am the strong man of the bet, the house. That's where we get our word alphabet. So the picture, the father is supposed to be the strong man of the house, despite what you've been taught, women. It says he is the strong man of the house. And guess what? Is he supposed to do it with authority? No, he's supposed to do it with love. And then this is what I was teaching in the wedding last night. I go, when you know how much he loves you, man, you'll start to love your wife. And if I wash my wife with words, honey, you're the best. You're the finest. I call her my finest. I go, everybody else is fighting for seconds, sweetie. You got number one wrapped up. Guess what? I've made her holy, is what it says in Scripture in Ephesians. I've set her apart. Man, if you start loving your wife like that, how does it happen? By you going, I'm going to go to this class and learn love and respect. And I'm going to love like Christ loved the church better this time. I promise, sweetie. Then you go try it, and you go, man, I suck at this. I can't do it. I'll be better next time. How many guys? I see a lot of you guys in relationships, and I go, you got to stop all that. Because you need to know how much he loves you first. He says, you know what, when she realized he keeps no record of wrong of me, man, that's perfect love. Now I can give what I have from inside and love her. Now, guess what, ladies? If think about this. If your husband, if he loves you and washes you with his word and sets you apart and treats you as special as this lady of his life and just loves on you, pours out his words on you, do you naturally respect him? Yes, you do it out of a response, not out of a command. Get it? That's a marriage. Isn't that beautiful? All right. So, you got to believe the right thing. Then your life starts to function is what I'm trying to show you. So let's get into this. So, all right. 2 Corinthians 10:3. Where's the battle? We talked about this last week. I'm going to show you what this obedience is, because the new covenant, we mess it up. And I see minister after minister, they're looking in Romans about where it says, you know what? Who you obey, and he's talking about the slave and the sinner, or righteousness, and they get this mixed up because they don't read it in context. They said, you know what? If you sin, you've made yourself a slave to sin. It says, who are you going to obey? You used to be a slave, but now you're no longer a slave. You're a slave to righteousness. And they're still trying to coordinate it with, if I behave right, and if I don't behave right, if I sin in the external, then, oh no, I'm a slave to sin again. I've heard almost every minister teach that. They don't teach it in context. It says, who are you going to listen to? When you sin, are you going to listen to that old slave master? Go, you're no good, you're dirty. You can't expect anything from God, you sinner. Or are you going to listen to your new master? It says, you're perfectly righteous. I don't care how bad you are, you're a slave to righteousness. Go read it in context. Who are you going to obey? And they think it's this external thing, but I'm going to show you your obedience is believing that Christ obeyed. We're just going to use Scripture. Is that okay? We're not going to use your Bible school notes. We're going to use Scripture. Fair enough? Okay. All right. 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, what does that mean? We're alive. We're flesh. Follow me? Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war. Our warfare is not according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not external, because the kingdom of God is not observable. You guys get it? It's something we can't see. It's what we believe. So, for the weapons of our warfare are not something we can see. They're not carnal, but they are strong for pulling down of strongholds. Casting down arguments. What's an argument? Arguments, tangible things, physical things. No. No, they're things we're debating, that whether this is true or whether that's true. Cast that argument down. Don't even worry about that. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That can be lots of things, guys. That can be, you pick. You can exalt fasting above God. You can exalt, who was it just sent me this? It was Jeff Hayes. Jeff Hayes sent me this thing. Joseph Prince just sent out a message about diet the other day. He goes, your health does not come from diet and exercise, guys. That's carnal. That's a tough one for believers. They've exalted their diet and health above their health. And it says, nothing that goes in you defiles a man. It's your heart that's going to defile you. What do you believe about yourself? Do you still believe you're dirty, judgment? I said, guess what? This is what Carolyn Leaf's all about. She goes, it starts to literally produce the wrong neurons in your brain, and you start to physically die. Does that make sense? So, all right. Casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So what are we supposed to do instead? Bring every thought. What's a thought? Is it spiritual, or is it something you can see? Is there power in your thoughts? Yes. You can get around somebody and go, man, they are wound up like a top. They're fearful of everything. They're worried about everything. It's usually the spiritual warriors, because they get this out of context. Spiritual warriors are the most anxiety-filled, worry bunch of people I've ever met. Everything's going wrong for them because some spirit's above their house and above Colorado Springs and this, and they didn't create the right portal, and I got to run through that portal to hear God. And he says, I'm seated at his right hand. I need anything. Lord, I need this. Okay. No, fight it for 21 days like Daniel, and then I might hear you, and then you might not join me enough, and so I'm just going to wait until you exalt enough and have enough joy, and then I'll go, okay, it's enough, and give it to you. I just described 99% of Christianity. Does that make sense? Don't exalt that stuff against the knowledge of Christ. You're a joint heir of Christ. Don't exalt any of that nonsense, all right? It exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of who? Christ's obedience. Now, what is Christ's obedience? I want to get into that. Romans 5. Remember we talked about type and shadows. Adam. Who is Adam? The first man is what it says, right? What does it say? Adam, who is a pattern, a type or a shadow of one to come. Who's the last Adam? Adam literally means man of blood. Jesus. Amen? The first Adam messed it all up. Here's the type. By one man's disobedience, the first Adam, what did that make us all? Knuckleheaded sinners. Right? In fact, did health challenges come in because of a bad diet? No, what's that store? Whole Foods. They Whole Foods, Whole Foods. They ate the most purest apple in the world. It was organic. No hormones, no HMO, no wheat, no whatever everybody's worried about today. This will cause this. There's none of that. And what happened to them the minute they... It said all of a sudden they saw who they were. They had the knowledge of good and evil. See, ignorance was bliss up until then. They were one with the Father. They had nothing. So we know it's not diet, guys. Does that make sense? Because they ate the most whole-fooded thing in the world. Range-free chicken, whatever you worry about. Hormone-free milk, right? Well, you know, Mike, this is the reason we're having all this, because all these hormones today. Don't exalt that above his divine health. I'm telling you, it's just, why am I talking about this all the time? Because I go into a Christian bookstore and everything's about diet and paleo this and paleo. They were the paleo of paleos, man. They couldn't get any fresher. Follow me? It's comical. You going to eat that? Yes, I'll eat yours too. In fact, Ron and Marthy, as our wedding gift, they gave, it's beautiful, guys. They, you know what they gave me in my little thing? Pork rinds. Didn't we, Laura? Chicoronis we had on the way home from Breckenridge last night. Some pork rinds, some energy drinks. Well, what's in it? They've exalted that, I'm telling you. You've exalted that. You really have. And you don't realize it until somebody pokes you with it. And it's not comfortable, guys. We've had so many testimonies that, hey, I was diagnosed with this. The doctor said I can't drink this. I can't eat that. I do this. I do that. I would tell you, you're going to struggle because you're exalting that. Because what? What if you snuck a little bit and did a little too much of this or a little too little of that? Now what? Oh, no. You know, you have no assurance in the new covenant anymore. Do you? See, I got assurance, man. What's in it? I have no idea. It tastes good to me. Wow. No, you've exalted that. There's every promise is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. What's the promise? As I am in this world, even so are you. Then I have it. What do I have? Divine health. Hallelujah. What are you doing for health insurance? We haven't had it for 16 years. First year I'm going to get it because Obamacare is going to cost me a tax, so I have to do it. It's cheaper just not have it. I'm not telling you to do that. Just we know what we have. Follow me? These my kids have never been to a doctor, ever. Now I got to because the government's telling me I have to. Paying the rear. Anyway, get off that. Because the last Adam didn't have one. Amen? I believe this stuff. I'm not just up here. I believe it. And it's so freeing, guys. It's so wonderful. Consequently, so if the first pattern made everyone a sinner because he made a mistake, the last one who is perfect, what's it going to make you? Perfect. That's the pattern. Does that make sense? All right. Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in judgment or condemnation for all people, so also, here's the pattern, right? The law of the Psalms and the prophets was about Jesus. If you can see what happened here, you'll get a reality of what really happened in the Spirit, is what he's trying to show you. So also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for how many people? How come not everybody receives it? As many as believed him, then he gave them the authority. You got to believe this stuff, then it becomes a reality. Does that make sense? So, for just as through the disobedience of one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of one man, the many will be made righteous. Whose obedience qualifies for your righteousness? If the first Adam, his sin, even though you didn't do it, right? Are you in the generation of Adam? Used to be. But now when you're born again out of the Spirit, what generation are you? I've been reborn. There's no generational curse in the new covenant. You got to go to some weird spiritual guy to tell you about it. He'll have a book of prayers that will free you from your judgment. And well, if you're... We got to cast that one onto 1,000 generations. What if it's the 1,000 the first generation? I still got it? Everything in the new kingdom is spiritual. It's what you believe, guys. He says, does that make sense? How many... Hey, you ever told you any stuff in your past? Because your dad or your mom or somebody, your great-grandfather? Like, where'd that come from? Hey, if I'm born again, guess what? I'm in the generation of the last Adam. I'm born again. All things have been made new, is what it says in the new covenant. I don't have any of that. Now, do I see it happen generation to generation? That's what these heart physics tell you. Oh, the other thing is, some of you guys weren't here last week, but this is so powerful, guys. Here's what they had. They had people stand there with little physically DNA strands in their hands, and they had them, hey, focus on love, joy, peace, all the things we saw in Philippians and Ephesians says, think on these things. Be worried, worry about what you think about, because that's going to cause life or death. It says, you know what, when they worried about love and peace and all these things, they literally unraveled DNA strands in their hand and reprogrammed them to receive love. Physically. So, that's why, you know, we've all heard this in different situations. Hey, if you want to be happy, get around happy people, right? What does it do to you? Their heart is literally changing your DNA as they speak, and you feel good when you're around them. That is what's going on. So, and everything happens in cycles. You know, our whole body, everything's seven. On the eighth day, it's new. Does that make sense? And they can physically show you after three cycles of seven, 21 days, the eighth day is actually new. You can actually reprogram everything you believe about yourself to start experiencing life, joy, happiness, peace, prosperity, etc. It's scriptural. And yet we still try to make it old covenant. You fake it till you make it. I've heard all this stuff, right? You're never going to make it because you never changed your heart. You know, you're like, this isn't real. I'm saying these things. This isn't even real because your heart didn't change. And that's why you're doubting it, right? So what do? We're talking to mountains and we're doing all this stuff. And I see them. I'm speaking to that mountain. And I'm going, yeah, but it's not moving, is it? Because it wasn't that mountain what he's talking about. He's talking about the old covenant. You'll say unto this covenant, be gone and be dispersed into the seas. And now you're just going to believe. Now, what's out of the abundance of your heart, I speak. And that's just the way it is. Does that make sense? You speaking without changing this does nothing. It does nothing. Well, are you part of that name it and claim it crowd? No. I'm trying to get your heart to change that I am prosperous and healthy because he's healthy and I'm a joint heir of him. And so that's who I am. Amen. Follow me? But I see, like, don't say, we got so ridiculous. We were at Bible school. Remember this, Laura? Hey, you going up or down? We're at the elevator. Don't say down. We're always going up. Like, would you shut up? You're nuts. No wonder Christians look at non-believers look at Christians and go, if that's being Christian, I'm out of this gig. I don't want anything to do with that. Like, because in my heart, do I believe if I hit the down button that I'm going down? No. But guess what? He does. So he's so watching his words that he gets tweaked out and he ever goes down. Because he knows he can't do it. He can't do it perfectly. He can't say these positive things perfectly. So he believes, oh man, I slipped up. Oh Lord, please, I confess. Now I'm back in covenant with you. Yet the new covenant says, you're always in covenant with me. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But you guys get what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to reprogram what you believe about yourself. The new covenant is good and only good. In fact, that's how I started out the wedding. I go, hey, all these man's traditions, you've heard all this stuff. How many of you guys have heard this? For better or for worse, in sickness and in health. Why would you start them off in their journey like that? Where God, this is how I teach weddings. I go, the very first thing that God instituted, before he made the church anything, he goes, I made husband and wife. I brought them together in a marriage, and I blessed it. But man comes along, and let's sort of bless it and curse it. In sickness and in health, I go, that none of that in the new covenant, guys. God made this marriage, and he spoke highly of it. He says, you know what? My prosperity is going to be your prosperity. My health is going to be your health. So I go, there's no sickness and health. There's only health in the new covenant. Praise God. And if you're having health challenges, don't be condemned. Just go look for where you're still under the law. You're still exalting things above the truth. Does that make sense? You're exalting conditions, things, genetics, all this stuff above the truth. And what I'm trying to show you is you can change your genetics, literally. It's scientific. You can change your DNA strands to start receiving the love of God, to start receiving the prosperity, to start receiving the joy. Amen? And when you're around people that have it, don't you feel good? Like, I feel awesome. I don't know what you did. Because it's spiritual. It's not observable. Hallelujah? All right, so for just through the obedience of one man, the many were made sinners. Guess what? He was a pattern. So if the first one's good, that's why in the Old Covenant it says, I sought for a man to stand in the hedge so I could bring man back into covenant with the Father, bring him back into the family, but I couldn't find any. But the intercessors are going, I'm standing in the gap for them. You can't. You can't. I can't find anybody, so I need to send my son and do it for them. All right? Guess what? Through his obedience of one man, we're righteous. Hallelujah. So, when we think the wrong thing, what are we supposed to do? Bring that, capture it. Yeah, I think that was Chris Obeda. Was that you, bro? Yeah, you're listening. Good job. So, no, you look at his life, which is awesome. It's just prospering. Is he working hard? Yes, but it's not from that. His belief system makes him work hard. Follow me? But you got to believe you're prosperous before you prosper. And guess what? Here's the good news. You can change it in 21 days scientifically. Every seventh day, the eighth day, it's new. Hey, you know, it's like you'll renew yourself like the eagle's youth. Guess what? Every 7 years, the eagle shuffs off all the old stuff. On the eighth year, everything's new. He goes, I'm giving you pictures so you can do it. So what are we supposed to do? Start believing the right thing. Hey, I am righteous. I am prosperous. I'm a joint heir of Jesus Christ. What if I go, oh no, I didn't hear him correctly. It's okay. I make even your mistakes to prosper. Start believing the right thing. I'll never leave you. Whatever you're going to do is going to prosper. When you start believing that, guess what? You get a little hiccups. Business doesn't go as you expected. I got demoted in my job. No problem, man. He's giving me a better one because everything in my life shines brighter and brighter unto the completion, the perfect day. Jesus came, finished the old covenant completely. Now he gave you his perfection. That's what that means. Okay, when I start believing that, everything in my life starts to prosper. If somebody stands up here and goes, Arnold, you need to get into the word more to prosper, you know what it's going to start to do? Condemn himself, and it's going to start slowly get worse. It's true. Because Jesus said, I am the word. The word became flesh. If you understand the message about me, get into me more. Put your obedience into one man. As he's my, this is you, this is Jesus. When he looks at you, what does he see? Jesus. Yet religion teaches when he sees your sin, you obey. He can't bless you if you sin. You know what's going to kill you? He doesn't see it. He goes, if he's removed it from the east or the west, when John the Baptist saw the true lamb, he said, behold, look, there's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. If he took it away, why are you looking for it? Why are you making people confess it? And they get the whole thing out of 1 John. And what he's telling them, he says, listen, if you guys don't believe that he came in the flesh, that's sin. That's grieving the Spirit. He says, listen, if you're willing to confess that you're a sinner, you too can be a brethren. Then that verse, chapter 2, he says, now you brethren, all you who are already sons and sinless. Do you sin this morning? Yes. Does God see it? No. He's took it away. Because one man made everybody a sinner, the last man made everybody perfect. He goes, why are you running around calling yourself a sinner? My obedience made you righteous. As many as believed him, he gave them position to be sons. You guys getting this? Okay, all right, let's finish this up then. Ephesians 1:3, praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. See, the old covenant was something you could see. It was carnal. They would bring the lamb. The priest would come. If you sinned and you brought a lamb, all the priest would. Did the priest ask you if you've confessed your sins? And did he tell you, you know, why don't you tell me what you did? Then you can be in covenant with the Father. When I was a sinner and I brought a priest to the lamb in the old covenant, what did he look at? If your substitute perfect, then that'll do. What's the church do? You got to be perfect, then God will bless you. They've missed it. So here's what they knew. As long as that lamb was perfect and it was sacrificed, I could walk away sinless and blessed. Hallelujah, it's going to be a good year. God's going to bless me. They had no... the new covenant says, once you realize the last lamb was perfect, you should have no more consciousness of what? Sin. You should not have any consciousness of it. Every day we were supposed to be walking around going, man, I am spotless, righteous, holy, set apart, joint heir. Every promise is yes, amen. I saw how good the old covenant blessings were if they brought a lamb. The spiritual blessings better. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And Christians go, well, you can't enjoy it till you get to heaven. You won't need it there. You need it now. Follow me? You do. You won't need it there. So what that means is every blessing that was promised, that was just a type and shadow. The spiritual one was Jesus himself took his blood into the heavenlies and said, it's finished. Now everything, man's back in the household of God. You can use my name. You require anything, just a hetio. Don't be anxious about nothing, is what it says. Nothing. Nothing. But in everything. He doesn't leave any room for error. Yet a lot of Bible teachers give you all kinds of error. If I'm not supposed to worry about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, ask. If you require it, it's yours because you own it. That's a rest for your soul. You guys get this? Is this helping anybody? Yes. All right. So he chose us. We couldn't do this thing. He blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And all that means is it's not we're floating around and falling down in the spirit. Because those people don't even know that they're righteous. They've missed what this all is about. It's not something you can see with your tangible eyes. It's something you believe. And when I tell you, you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing, all I'm telling you is if those old covenant promises were good, the new covenant promise is better. It just happened in the spiritual realm, and now you need to believe it. Follow me? Okay, so, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Hallelujah. He goes, I'm going to make this thing up. I'm going to choose you to be holy and blameless in my sight. Isn't that good news? So you can stop trying to be holy and blameless because it'll get worse. The law was given so that sin would increase. If you want to break out of sin in your family, teach them the law. You'll have a revival of sin. This is literally what it says. They can't understand this old new covenant. Man, I'm teaching them all the right things, yet it's not working. Because the kingdom doesn't come from observation, it comes from believing the right things. Follow me? All right. So, in love, he predestined us for adoption to what? Sonship through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The old covenant made you. I'm just showing you all the different scriptures that tell you all the same thing. Does that help? So, if we're a son, then we're a joint heir. If I'm a joint heir, what do I need to do to get anything I need? Ask, require it. Father, I need this. Thank you. I can be sure that you're going to give it to me because you gave me two things that you can't lie. One, your promise, and two, a blood covenant, and you won't lie, and that'll anchor my soul. Got it? All right. He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. It's all, hey, he was the author and finisher of this concept of faith. Where do you fit? Outside of it. You just got to believe it. That's why in the old covenant, Abraham, he was going to scurry the ravens away, and what did God do? You're not a part of this thing. I'm going to put you to sleep because you'll mess it up, Abe. You just sleep, and I'm going to show you the truth. And Abraham believed him, and they counted him as righteous. He became a friend of God. What does that mean? I'm in covenant with God. Hallelujah. All right. So he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given. Hallelujah. It's free, man. You guys excited? Yeah. All right. Let's finish this up. My son, give attention to my words. What's his words, honestly? Does it mean read your Bible more? It means the word became flesh. He is the Logos. He is the Rhema. It's his message to God. My message to God is one of love and reconciliation, and I'm going to come in the flesh and show you. To the sinner, did he show them love and reconciliation? Always. Did any sinner never get what he came to Jesus for, as long as he just asked Jesus for it? Never. Didn't matter if his unbelief was more than his belief. Didn't matter if he was in total faith. Didn't matter any of that. He simply was smart enough to go to Jesus, and he received. Right? The rich young ruler, when he said, what must I do to inherit? It's so stupid. Solomon comes to me, what must I do to inherit? No, you need to be born to inherit. Are you born in the new covenant? Then you have an inheritance in Christ Jesus. You guys see how this all works out? Yeah, but I need to do this more. And I go, then you didn't inherit anything. Follow me? So if you're going, I'm going to get into the word more because I want to see all the promises I have now, go for it. But if you're going to go, I'm struggling with finances in my life. I'm struggling with relationships in my life. Everything in my life's not working. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to fast more. I'm going to do this more. You know what it's going to do? Give you more of the same. But if you're going to go, I'm just going to start renewing my mind to Jesus. Now you're getting into the word more. You're getting to the message of God is you're a son. Guys, get this? Okay, so it's my son. Give attention to my words. So what are you supposed to keep your focus on? Jesus. His words were Jesus. His word is flesh. So the message, if you see Jesus, you see him. You know who he gets mad at? The people that put weights on their people. And that's what all the people in Acts said. Listen, hey, you Jews, why are you trying to make him do religious stuff? You yourself couldn't follow it. His yoke is easy. What's yoke? Hey, I'm yoked together with him. Everything I got is his, and I just kind of cruise along with him, and if I need it, I got it. Amen? All right. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. What if that's just another way of saying, look unto him, the author and finisher of your faith. If he's got it, you have it. Okay? So, for they are life to those who find them. And here's how we're taught in Bible schools, etc. Get in the word more until you get the rhema. I'm going to see people trying to get there forever. The rhema is just me telling you what you already have. It's the spoken word. The logos is just Jesus in the written. Hey, the logos and the rhema is Jesus. They're one and the same. Right? Okay. So, Hey, don't let Jesus depart from your heart, for they are life to those who find them. All right? And they are health to all their flesh. Keep your heart, literally it's lav, it's the staff of the inside. It says your heart is what's going to really guide you as a shepherd. That's what Jesus said in the New Covenant. So, if I find Jesus, guess what? I'm going to find health to my flesh. If I find Jesus, I'm going to find health to my flesh. So where's my health come from? The label. No! Stop looking at the stupid label is what I'm trying to tell you. It'll kill you. I'm serious. I have divine health. Hallelujah. I'm looking unto Him, the author and finisher. And you know what? If you can get all of your condemnation out, you'll start to live health. It's effortless, guys. You just start to live healthy. Amen? And there's nothing I did. There's nothing we did. What do we believe? We believe, man, okay, you got a little hiccup here. No worries. Jesus will heal you. That's all right. Because that's who He is. He's a loving Father. Fathers, you know, if you had everything in your authority to heal somebody, would you heal your kids? Of course you would. And guess what? He's going to do that. If we can just rest in His promises, you'll naturally heal. It's just how it is. Should you be condemned by taking medicine or anything? No, do it. But know that your true health comes from when you find Him. Medicine just sustains you long enough to get the truth in you so you actually start to live again. That makes sense? All right. For they are life to those who find them. They are life. So if you find Jesus, salvation, prosperity, health, first thing that needs to come, guys, is forgiveness of sin. I am righteous and holy in His eyes. I'm a spotless bride right now. That, then you'll start to find life. Keep your heart, that inner man, with all diligence. So if you're supposed to keep anything, what are you supposed to really guard against? What you believe, your heart. Now watch this. For out of it springs the issues, the sources, or boundaries of life. See, here's the thing. Jesus died on the cross. He rose for your justification. He's seated at the right hand. The last Adam made you perfectly a son, back with all the inheritance of the Father. Right? I have all the covenant of a marriage relationship with Jesus. He's trying to give us earthly relationships so we can understand this. I already have them, is what it says. Right? I just need to renew my mind to that. And then I start to experience it. Because people go, I've done everything right. Number one thing I hear when people come with problems, well, I've done all that. Okay, well then, our conversation's over. No, you don't understand. I did all that. I know. I've all heard all that, Mike. But where is He? How come? I'm waiting for my breakthrough. He broke through. He's given you to change everything. You can change everything about you by just starting to believe right. Instead of worrying about what you don't have, start focusing on what you do have. Worry is just as powerful of meditation as thinking on Jesus. When you think on Jesus, it starts to get brighter. Amen? You guys get this? And that heart, that literally, it says, out of it are the issues, is what King James says. But literally, it means how far you can go. So how much joy you can experience is what do you believe in your heart. How much prosperity you can experience is what do you believe in your heart. How many positive relationships you can experience is what do you believe about yourself. Do you believe that everybody likes you because you're holy, you're not judgmental, it's all this? Then you know what? You'll start to not worry about what do they think about me? I don't really care because I know what I think about me. Does that make sense? I grew up on the wrong side of the tracks. We all did, man. By one Adam, we were all on the wrong side. So you had to be taught that by your generation, your race, your whatever, how to feel condemned. Because in Christ Jesus, you're not any of that. You're born again. You're in Him. Follow me? You guys get this? So how can I change everything? Just by believing Him. He is me and I'm in Him and we're in good shape today. Amen. Let's go. Follow me? You guys get it? All right, let's finish. So what you believe determines how far you can go in life. Where's God? He's with you. He's trying to show you. You can't do it by behaving. You got to do it by believing. Right? If I sow into this a little bit more. No, you can sow because it's a burnt offering. And He goes, New Covenant giving is just really how much do you want to be blessed by? It is a seed is what it says. And it'll. God's not mocked, man. He's how it works. Right? But you are every one of you rich in Christ. Yes. So don't let anybody manipulate you. You've got to sow into the anointing to receive the prophet's message. That's bunk, man. I've seen these things. He'll give you a prophetic message if you're willing to pay for it. I would run. Because He said, hey, freely you've been given, freely give it. And then we get this. He'll give you a personal word for $75. Kick Him right in the groin. I hate that stuff. Because guess what? Then I don't have it. Hey, does Les ever charge coming up here? I've seen so many miracles like that. Hey, somebody needs to be healed of spondylolisthesis. He goes, I'm a carpenter. I don't even know what that is. I had to look it up, see it's real. These guys come up next week and go, man, I was him. I was the chiropractor. I was healed of spondylolisthesis. I didn't go to church forever because of my relationships. And yet I heard the Holy Spirit say, come to Freedom Ministries today. And he shows up. And Les goes, you know, God told me somebody needs to be here of spondylolisthesis. Now, a chiropractor knows what spondylolisthesis is. And he comes up and goes, man, I'm healed. He goes, but I'm living in sin. I go, that doesn't matter. That's just what you believe about yourself. He said, by one man's obedience, you've been made righteous. You guys get this? Who are you going to listen to? That old covenant law goes, you're guilty, not worthy. Or the new covenant says, you're a slave to righteousness. I own you. I bought you with a price. Does that help you guys? All right. So you have blessed with every spiritual blessing. Does that mean we only get it in heaven? No, it means it's done. You have everything that was promised. You have Jesus again. You have the Father again. You're back in the family. You require anything, simply a hiteo. Ask him for it and it's yours. Hallelujah. That's what's supposed to anchor your soul, not doing something more. Follow me? Okay. So, as he is, even so are you in this world. You can get to your feet. Now, do you believe that? I hope. As he is, so am I in this world. So if he has divine health, do you need to do anything to have it? No. Believe that I have it. Renew my mind to that. When I take communion, the act of communion itself does nothing. You guys understand that? It's a piece of stale bread and some juice. That's nasty because it's been in those containers, you know? Right? Isn't it true? Like, God. But what does he say? As long as you do this, do it in remembrance. Bring me to remembrance. What does this signify? This signifies I'm in covenant with him. If I need anything, my covenant partner's got it. So it's really renewing my nine, changing my heart again. Follow me? It's not some mystical, magical thing that happens because I took communion. I took communion and it didn't work. You missed it. You're supposed to go, wait a minute. He loves me so much that when I was dead in sin, he died for me. Will he not heal my body now that I'm righteous? Of course he will. Now I get my heart settled again. Don't have to worry about it. Does that make sense? Hey, if he, when I was not in covenant, when I was disobedient, when I was everything, he became poor at the cross. He goes, I was rich, yet I became poor. Why? So that we may become rich. That just starts to refresh your heart again. Man, I am rich. I am prosperous. Whatever I put my hand to shall prosper. Man, you know what? I need to not judge people, because if I judge them, you know what? I'm going to worry about, is God going to judge them? With what you judge, you're going to be judged? Not even close. That's what we think, but that's not even it. He goes, I don't even judge you. I didn't come to save you. I didn't come to judge you or condemn you. I came to save you. Right? But it says, you know what? Is with what measure you judge, you shall be judged. Why? Because if you judge other people in something, you're always thinking they're judging you that way. Does that make sense? Because it says the same measure you give out, man will give it back to you. Not God. God doesn't do that. It's man. Right? You guys get this? It's all about belief. It's spiritual. Amen? So, what do I want you to start doing? Stop condemning yourself, number one. Because I've said a lot of things that I stepped on a lot of toes today, I know. And why can I step on those toes? Because I was every one of those things. I believed every one of those wrong teachings I got in all the ministries and churches and everything else, so I know what I'm talking about. It'll kill you ultimately. You start to go, what is wrong with me? I've done everything. Why am I seeing my breakthrough? Come on, God. Where is it? He goes, man, everything I got is yours. I've given you the ability. You're so fearfully and wonderfully made. You've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. I'm not withholding anything good. It's your own heart that's keeping you from experiencing everything I'm freely giving you. And if you're still focused on sin and I have to obey to be blessed by God, you're going to struggle, guys. You're going to struggle. When you sin, the number one thing you should be doing is going, thank God this new covenant is I am still righteous because he bought me. Hallelujah. You know what? That will get you out of this cycle ultimately. It'll get you out of that cycle of sin and addiction and whatever you're struggling with, guys. So don't be condemned by it. Welcome to planet Earth and welcome to the club is what I always tell people. Well, I'm struggling with this. Welcome to the club. So what? Guess what? I'm supposed to renew my mind to the truth, bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and his obedience has made me righteous. If I'm righteous and I'm back in the family of God, then I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And if I need anything, do I need to perform to earn it, receive it? No. Simply, a hiteo. You guys get this? Hallelujah. So that's why you can have joy. He works in mysterious ways. Yes, he does, but you can be sure of how he's going to work. We just never know. God works in mysterious ways. And that really helps your congregation. Good job. Right? We just never know. Well, that's terrible to me. Because I'm an engineer and I got an analytical brain. No, I want to know. Just do it by faith, Mike. You're missing what faith is. Faith is belief that it's being persuaded I already have it because Jesus, all those types and shadows, the Jews believed it when they brought the lamb, right? Because that was a type and shadow. We need to believe that the real lamb was brought, and now those promises are yes. Always, forever, even when I'm mildly stupid, it's still yes to me. That's good news. You guys get it? All right, so let's pray. Father, we love you, we praise you, we magnify you. Oh, let the message of Jesus get into their heart. Because then grace and peace is multiplied in their heart. They don't have to do something more, they have to look at Jesus more. That's who I am. Renew their mind to the fact that as he is in this world, even so am I. Every blessing, every promise is yes and amen. I have every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. I'm complete in Christ, nothing lacking. As he is, so am I. That's who I am. I'm a joint heir. So Father, I just thank you that these guys can stop struggling in their effort. They can finally go, I give up, Lord. And in their weakness, your strength is complete, perfected, is what it says. So we thank you for that. Father, I just thank you. They can start receiving divine health. Not out of diet, not out of this, not out of doctor's report. They can just receive it. When they change their heart that they already have it, they'll start to experience it more and more. In fact, it's multiplied in their lives. Father, we just remove all judgment. We take off that old man that I'm a sinner and put on the new man that I'm completely righteous. We put on the cloak of righteousness for them that they can start believing that's how you see them. So Father, we thank you for supernatural breakthroughs, not because you're doing something, because you already did it. Let them believe that all things work together for their good. All things work together for their good. I don't care what it looks like right now. All things work together for their good. If they start believing that promise because you made it yes, they start to experience it supernaturally. We just thank you for that. Father, they're not worried about what's lost, what's stolen, because you're the restorer. In fact, if it's stolen, they can rejoice because you're going to bring them back to a better place. So Father, we just thank you for all of that. In Jesus' magnificent name, we say it's yes and amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. You guys good? We're released in Jesus' name.